This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. So yesterday, the last topic that we studied was with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's irada and his mashi'a. Ithbatul mashi'ati wal iradati lillahi subhanahu. Generally, when we hear these terms, irada, mashi'a, irada means intention, and mashi'a is from sha'a, like ma sha Allah, insha Allah. That also means will. So intention, will, want, we generally understand it to be the same thing. Remember that when it comes to irada, with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is of two categories. Okay? When it comes to will, want, intention, with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's two categories. The first category is irada kawniya or irada qadariya. Meaning with respect to kawn, with respect to the universe, with respect to qadar, meaning decree. So this means anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that should happen with respect to the creation. So for example, Allah wants that rain should fall somewhere. So what happens? It will fall. Allah wants that a child should be born. So what happens? The child is born. Allah wants that a person should die. So that person dies. Allah wants that there should be bloodshed, like we learned yesterday. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَ. Right? But Allah wanted, and this is the reason why it happened. Okay? Now, this is synonymous to mashi'a. Mashi'a and arada gives the meaning of sha'a. He wants, meaning he wills. You understand? He wants, meaning he wills. Now remember that when it comes to irada kawniya, okay, and we're talking about mashi'a, remember two things. First of all, remember that this includes what Allah loves and also what He does not love. You understand? So just because Allah wanted that a person should die does not mean that Allah wants that that person should suffer and he should experience pain. He wants evil. He likes evil. No. He wants, don't equate that with love. You understand? Want does not mean love. It does not mean like. It gives a meaning of he allows it. He lets it happen. So remember that mashi'a, irada kawniya, irada qadariya, this includes what Allah loves and also what He does not love. The second thing that you must remember about this is that this always occurs. Meaning whatever Allah wants, it will definitely occur. It will definitely happen. It cannot be opposed. Like we say, masha Allahu kana wa ma lam yasha lam yakun. What Allah wants will certainly happen. And what Allah does not want can never happen. Correct? So this is something that we believe. This is irada kawniya with respect to the universe. And this is where, you know, when people have questions such as how come there's bloodshed and how come there's so much evil? Yes, it happened by Allah's will. If He did not will, it would never have happened. Don't we learn in the Quran that وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعْلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. So if there is division, if there is disunity, if there are differences amongst people, this is because Allah let it happen. But don't equate that with Allah's love. Meaning don't think that Allah loves that, that Allah likes it. He let it happen, but it doesn't mean that He loves it. Yeah, in the Quran also we learn that anything good that happens to you, it's from Allah, and anything bad that happens to you, it's because of what your hands have acquired, right? Meaning Allah lets it happen, because if Allah did not let it happen, would it ever happen? No. So whether there is kufr, or there is qatl, or there is nifaq, anything that happens, it happens by Allah's permission. Allah willed it. Because ma sha Allahu kana. Alright? But it doesn't mean that He loves it. If he wants, can he stop it? Of course. Don't we learn, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَمَعَكُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَى? If he wanted, he could have gathered all of you on guidance, meaning everyone would have been forced to be a believer. But that's not the way of Allah. Allah has given freedom to people. But a person cannot do anything unless Allah lets him. Correct? Okay. Now the second type of irada, the second category is irada shar'iyya. And what does that mean? It is with respect to the religion. It is with respect to the laws that Allah has given to human beings, to people to observe. Sharia. The commands that He revealed. And remember that this, when we're talking about this irada, this is synonymous to mahabba. So when we say Allah arada, it means that He ahabba. So for instance, Allah has intended, Allah wants that His creation should worship Him. People should worship Him. Then what does it mean? Allah loves that. You understand? Allah wants that we should pray 5 times a day. What does it mean? That Allah loves that. Allah wants that we should do wudu before we pray. That we should fast all days of Ramadan. Don't we learn over there? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيَسْرَ. Right? So what does it mean over there? That He loves it. Now, remember that when it comes to irada shar'iyya, again, remember two things. First of all, it is related to what Allah loves. So when we're talking about something that Allah wants in the religion, then it means that He loves it. You understand? If Allah has made something a part of the religion, then what does it mean? He loves it. And this is the reason why we believe that, you know, for example, in the time of travel, when there are certain allowances that are made, Allah loves that those allowances are also taken. Because He is the one who has given all the commands. So any command of religion, what do we believe? Allah loves that. It is irada shar'iyya. It is equal to love. Secondly, remember that irada shar'iyya, it is not necessary that this occurs. People may oppose Allah in that. Why? Because He has given the choice to people. So for instance, Allah loves that He should be worshipped. But do all people worship? No. Allah loves that His servants should pray. But does everybody pray? No. Allah loves that people should perform wudu before salah. But does everybody do that? Not necessarily. When it comes to irada kawniya, do we have any choice? You know, in the Quran we learn about the example of sujood. That how everything prostrates to Allah. Shadows even. This is what? Irada kawni. But a human being doing sajda. A human being doing sajda. This is what? Irada shar'i. You understand? But do people oppose Allah in that regard? Yes, some refuse to prostrate. Some refuse to pray. So, some people, what they think is that, oh look, Allah's religion is not being observed. That means all power is not with Allah. No, don't think like that. It's because Allah has given the freedom to people. For some time. For a little while. Because this is how people judge Islam. That how weak Islam is, how weak Muslims are. That means it's not the truth. No. Allah has allowed people to obey and disobey. To worship and to refuse. Not because He is weak, but because He has given the people the choice, and this is a test. So you understand the differences between irada kawni and irada shar'i? Okay. So the main difference is basically in two ways. Irada kawni always happens because it is what Allah has decreed. It must happen. People don't have any choice. Our body surrenders. Our body submits. You cannot stop your shadow from prostrating. Can you? You can't. It always happens. But irada shar'iyya, it's not necessary that it always happens. Why? Because people have been given a choice with respect to that. The second difference is that irada shar'iyya is what Allah loves. Allah loves it. And kawniyya is general. Meaning it includes what Allah loves and also what He does not love. Now there is a question. How can Allah intend something that he does not love, meaning he lets it happen. How can he allow kufr? How can he allow shirk? Because remember, the mushrikeen would say, لو شاء الله ما أشركنا. So if we're doing shirk, we're doing it because Allah allowed us. He willed it. And likewise, many people, they put the blame on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wanted, I would have been a very good Muslim. If Allah wanted, I would have been very rich. Their own weaknesses, their own sins, who do they put the responsibility on? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if we have no choice, ultimate decision is His and we can't do anything. And there are good things and there are also certain bad things. Right? They attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is true, that nothing can happen unless Allah allows it. This is true. But how do we understand that Allah allows evil to happen? How? Why does He allow evil to happen? How can He let bad happen? Of course, to separate the good from the bad. Because if we didn't have any choice, then how would people be differentiated? Meaning, a person who has good character and a person who has bad character, how would they be differentiated? A person who has more sabr, more patience, as opposed to the one who doesn't. So when Allah lets something bad happen to us in our lives, this is a test that the true person is revealed, is exposed. You understand? Exactly. This is the test of life. If we did not have to choose between good and bad, then how would this be a test? Then this would be Jannah. You understand? What's that place where everything is good? Everything is perfect. Jannah. Not this dunya. In this dunya there is no perfection. And remember that even if there is something evil that Allah wills, there is always a good aspect to it. A good side to it. Always. Even Iblis. Okay? If Allah let him, He gave him the choice, He let him rebel, and Allah allowed Iblis, go after my servants, you can go. Iblis asked Allah, right? فَأَنْظِرْنِي, give me respite. Allah said, go ahead, you have that respite. Imagine, Iblis has been given a life so long until the day of judgment. And what is he? He's a symbol of evil. But is there any good in that? Is there a good aspect in Iblis being there? Huh? You know, scholars have listed numerous benefits of having Iblis around. Think about it. If Iblis wasn't there and he did not prompt us to sin, to disobey, would we know tawbah and istighfar? Adam alayhi salam, he made a mistake, right? But then what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him words of tawbah. If he didn't make that mistake, if Iblis didn't persuade him to commit that sin, where would we get that ilm from? You understand? What would be tawbah? And when a person commits a sin, he falls and he does tawbah, Allah loves tawbah. The servant draws even closer to Allah. So many times we learn that the servant made a mistake and Allah accepted his repentance and He chose him. Meaning the servant drew nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember that nothing is pure evil. Okay? There may be evil with respect to the individual. So for example, Iblis, evil. However, there is also a good side to it. Remember, Shaytan, he kept coming and stealing. And then Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, right? Shaytan told him that if you recite this one ayah, you won't be hurt. That we won't bother you. And what did he say? Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet ﷺ said that he's a liar, but he spoke the truth. So we learned something good, even from Shaytan. You understand? So remember that anything that is evil, that is bad, that Allah allows, that Allah wills should happen, okay? It is good from one aspect, and yes, it's makruh from another. What is our duty? That we don't think bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions. We don't question His decisions. We don't doubt His decisions. Rather, we accept them. Accept them, no matter what it is. Whether it is in our lives, in ourselves, in our family, in our situation, the state of the Muslim ummah in general, whatever it is, there is good. There is good in it. So seek that good. And this is the benefit of this belief. That when you believe that everything that happens, happens with Allah's permission, good or bad, then this increases our reliance on Him. Right? And this motivates us to do what Allah loves and keep away from what He does not love. What does He love? The commands that He has given. So strive to earn His love. And this is where we move to the next theme, which is إِثْبَاتُ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ وَمَوَدَّتِهِ لِأَوْلِيَائِهِ عَلَى مَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ. إِثْبَاتُ, affirmation of, مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ, love of Allah, meaning Allah's love. Affirming, affirmation of Allah's love. Affirming the fact that Allah loves. وَمَوَدَّتِهِ, and His مَوَدَّة. مَوَدَّة is also love, but it's pure love. خَالِصُ الْمَحَبَّةِ. Affirming the fact that Allah loves, who? لِأَوْلِيَة, He has love for His friends. عَلَى مَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ, in a way that befits His majesty. Meaning we believe that Allah loves His servants, His friends, but obviously we will affirm that in the way that befits Him. We don't compare His love with the love of the creation. You understand? We love. People love each other. People love different things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also loves His servants. How does He love? How? What kind of love? What's the nature of that love? We don't go on describing that without knowledge. Okay? عَلَى مَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ. Now this is amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a great Lord, who does not need anybody, anything, yet He loves His servants. We think that love is weakness, or mercy is weakness, but it is not weakness with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only perfection. That despite being so great, so free of need, despite the fact that He is so just, still He loves His servants. And when He loves His servant, when He loves His friend, then that servant is successful. Because he has acquired something that's really the key to success. He's the luckiest person. The one who earns Allah's love. Because that love is the most reliable. The most useful. When people love us, we have this confidence. I have my mom's love. I have my dad's love. I have their support. It's a source of confidence, comfort. But what happens when we begin to think that love is sufficient, meaning people's love is sufficient? Does that love disappoint us? Yes, it does. Because people, they love you today and tomorrow they are angry at you. They hurt your feelings. They break your heart. They say harsh words. And then they come back and apologize, but it's not the same. You try to get over it, it takes days. And you cannot accept, you cannot understand how someone who claims to love you could hurt you in that way. Breaks your heart. Breaks your trust. The love of people, it's definitely one that disappoints, that hurts. But the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it never hurts. It never disappoints. It's always a source of comfort and relief. This doesn't mean that we don't love people. Or we don't care about the fact that they love us. No. Love is something natural. But rise above the love of people. Do not depend on their love. Because our problem is that when we love someone and they love us, then we're good to them and they're good to us. We will give them their haqq and they will give us our haqq. Our good behavior is dependent on what? Their love and our love. But this is not how it should be. Our love should be directed to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for Allah's love, we deal with people correctly. You understand? Because He is the one who has told us to give the haqq, for example, of the husband, of the parents, of the children. So even though they break your heart, even though you are hurt and you're upset, still you will be good to them. Why? Because you love Allah. And Allah has told you to be good to them. Allah has told you to give them their haqq. And this is so true. The day a person truly loves Allah, that is the day that he will be truly happy. Happiness cannot come except by loving Allah, except by giving all your love to Him. When we love people, our actions depend on that love. Those actions cannot continue. They cannot last. They can never bring happiness. They can never bring satisfaction. But when we love Allah and we prefer that love over everything else, then it doesn't matter how people are and whether they hurt us or they love us, they appreciate us or they ridicule us, that doesn't matter. True happiness comes with loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَوْلِهِ and his statement, وَأَحْسِنُوا and do ihsan, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ indeed Allah loves those who do ihsan. Subhanallah. You want Allah's love? Do ihsan with Allah and the creation. Who are muhsineen? Those who do ihsan. And ihsan is in two ways, right? One is directed to Allah, meaning in ibadah, in worship. أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. And the other aspect is ihsan towards the creation. Doing good to the creation. What is ihsan towards the creation? It's in different ways. Right? First and foremost, good treatment and generosity. Good treatment and generosity, whether it is through words or actions or through money, physically serving people, whether they're old or dependent on you or they're sick, they're unwell. Likewise, through one's jah, through one's status, one's authority and position, he shows he's good towards others. So for example, because you have certain knowledge or because you have a certain position in a company, you pass on somebody's resume, okay, so that they have an opportunity. You understand? This is also a kind of ihsan. Likewise, ihsan is to refrain from harming others, refrain from hurting others, whether it is through words or through actions. And thirdly, ihsan also includes being cheerful with people. One attitude is, I'm indifferent. I don't know who you are. I don't care about you. Yes, you just passed by me, but I didn't even notice you. So I'm not even going to greet you. I'm not going to smile at you. I don't care about you. Is this ihsan? Is this the attitude of ihsan? No. The Prophet ﷺ was the most busy person, wasn't he? And yet there were times when he would be walking, all of a sudden, a slave girl would come and just hold his hand and take him away. A little girl would just come and take him away to help her solve her problem. Wasn't he the one who would speak to children, notice them, and speak to them about what would interest those children? Like that little sahabi whose bird died. And the Prophet ﷺ asked him about his bird, his pet. This is being cheerful with people, caring for people. This is also a part of ihsan. Now, Allah says, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. You do ihsan and Allah will love you. Allah will love you. You see, there are certain people whom we dislike. Natural. You just don't get along with them. Or there are certain things that we dislike. But still, do ihsan with them. Why? To earn Allah's love. How many of you like dogs? Okay, I see only three hands. Okay, four. Why is it that you don't like dogs, the rest of you? Those of you who don't like dogs, why? Okay, they're scary, and? You're concerned about your najasa. And dog, from childhood, the hatred of dogs has been instilled in our hearts. But do you remember that hadith in which we learn about the prostitute who fed the thirsty dog and earned forgiveness? You understand? So, ahsinu, do ihsan even to the dog that you hate to earn Allah's love. If this is a dog, there are people whom we dislike, we're angry with, because of whom we are hurt. We are very disappointed. We're frustrated with them. We've had enough of them. Ahsinu. Do ihsan to them, not because of them, because of Allah. And when you will do that, when you will overcome your difference with them, when you will overcome, you know, your feelings towards them, you will earn Allah's love. Because you did good to them, not because of them, but because of Allah.
Making dua for the one who has hurt you the most. And I tell everybody that. Whenever somebody mentions something, how somebody did this to them or did that to them, and I say, make dua for them. I said, that's when you feel so much better. You mean the hurt goes away straight away because you start making dua for that person, because whether he hurt, offended you with his words, with his actions, whatever it is. Because you never know what you are doing to others.
Yes.
And I remember that so clearly from the first time Ustada told us that. And I tell anybody who mentioned something that somebody did to them, whether it was a neighbor, was a friend, or even a stranger, I said, make dua for them. Allah guide them.
It's a healing. Doing ihsan to others heals you. It will heal you. It will bring comfort to your heart. Because when somebody has hurt you and they've annoyed you and they've frustrated you, like literally to the max, and you do ihsan to them not because of them but because of Allah, tell me, with what intention are you doing ihsan? Allah's pleasure, right? This action will be sincere. Because generally when we are being good to others because they're being good and there is no issues, no problems, intentions, they get easily corrupted. We say, yeah, I'm doing this for Allah, but then we expect a thank you and we expect a smile and we expect a gift in return. And isn't it? We begin expecting from others. But when you know that this person, I cannot expect anything from them. If anything, I can only expect worse things from them. So ahsinu, do ihsan. It's the best healer. It will help you be patient. It will help you quickly get over the anger that you have in your heart. It will help you fulfill your obligations and your duties towards people. وَأَقْصِطُوا and be just. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those people who are just. Again, justice. It's difficult. It's very difficult. Because who is it that we are more inclined to? Who? Those whom we love. Or those who agree with us. Or those who support us. But justice, fairness, qist, what does it mean? That you give to everybody the haqq that they deserve. So the person who will overcome himself, his own preferences and likes and dislikes, he will earn Allah's love. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ فَمَا اسْتَقَامُوا لَكُمْ فَاسْتَقِيمُوا لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. As long as they uphold the treaty with you, the terms of the treaty with you, you also uphold the terms of the treaty with them. Why? Because Allah loves those who fear Him. Allah loves those people who have taqwa. Remember the context of this ayah? The mushrikeen had certain pacts with the Muslims. Right? But the mushrikeen, it was well known, they're going to break their pacts. They're going to violate them. They're going to violate the treaty. Any second, any moment. So when you cannot trust the other individual, and you're expecting only deceit from them, what do you want to do? Deceive them before they deceive you. You get the better of them before they get the better of you. You're tempted. But what does Allah say? As long as they are upholding the terms of the treaty, you also uphold the terms of the treaty. You don't deceive them just because you expect deceit from them. Why? Out of Allah's fear. And when you will do that out of Allah's fear, then you will earn Allah's love. So the one who deals with others with the fear of Allah gives the other his haqq. Why? Because he's afraid of Allah. Then such a person will earn Allah's love. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those who repent and He loves those who purify themselves. Two actions are mentioned over here. Tawbah and Tahara. Tawbah, what does it mean? Repentance. When does a person repent? When he's made a mistake. So, tawwab, remember that tawwab, tawwabin, it means كَثِيرُ التَّوْبَةِ, the one who does a lot of tawbah. And if somebody is doing a lot of tawbah, what does this mean? They're doing a lot of sin. You understand? So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ, Allah loves those who repent. This means that Allah loves those who sinned and then repented to Allah. And then repented. Remember the condition also. Not just that if a person is committing a sin, he thinks, yeah, Allah loves me. No, you make a mistake, you commit a sin, and then when you do tawbah, Allah will love you. What happens to us if somebody's made a mistake and they apologize even? Do we love them? Or does our love change? Changes, right? We take so much time to overcome that hurt, to really forgive them from our heart. If somebody's hurt us for 50 days, we say, give me at least 50 days. I know you've apologized, but I need time. And then even though we claim that we've gotten over it, what happens after another 50 days? We mention what they've done. We keep replaying those words in our head, right? Because we are people. Only Allah is perfect. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ, He loves those who repent. And remember the conditions of tawbah, that it should be done purely for Allah's sake. That if a person is crying, he should not be crying to show off, but rather to earn Allah's mercy. Sincerely for Allah. Embarrassment and regret over the sin. And then refrain from the sin, leave it. And then it should also be before death. So those who do tawbah, yes, mistakes happen. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. Today, one mistake, and then another mistake, another mistake. But become a tawwab. Always go back. You heard that example recently. Tawbah is like making a U-turn. You're going in one direction, you realize you're doing something wrong, and just make a U-turn. Just go back. Leave the sin and go back. Realize you're going in the wrong direction, make a U-turn. Go back to Allah. Tawwabin. And the more a person goes back to Allah, the more Allah loves him. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ, and Allah loves those who are mutatahirin, who keep themselves clean, who try a lot to keep themselves clean, who exert a lot of effort to purify themselves. Is it difficult to clean? Huh? So for example, cleaning a toilet bowl. Is it easy? If a child has peed on your carpet, cleaning that, is it easy? If a child has wet their bed, cleaning that, it's frustrating, right? It's very upsetting. It's annoying almost. You know, a guest comes over in your house and their child, their diaper has leaked. It's so annoying. If your clothes get dirty, if you're holding a baby and the diaper leaks on you, and then you have to clean, you did wudu, you're about to pray, and then you break your wudu. Again you have to go do wudu. Again you have to go do wudu. Taking a ghusl, ghusl of janabah or ghusl after menses. Again, for some people it's very difficult. And for everybody in fact. There are times when people find these acts of purification to be a burden. They find them difficult. But if a person remembers, if I'm doing wudu, Allah is going to love me. If I'm taking this bath, as difficult as it is, Allah is going to love me. Then what will happen? This action of tahara will become easier. Many times we clean out of fear of people. Whether it is our nails, or our clothes, our body, our house, our bed. We say, oh, it's smelling, so change it. Freshen it up, because guests have to come. So one is that you do something out of fear of people. But the one who cleans himself, his body, his clothes, his home, his surroundings, his study, his desk, whatever, seeking Allah's pleasure, for him is Allah's love. Because you see, this act of purification, this is really a very private matter between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, for example, some najasa has fallen on your clothes. Who knows? Who knows? No person knows. Is your mother going to come and check? No. You're an adult. You're responsible for yourself. Your bed is dirty. Your washroom floor is dirty. Who's going to check? Who's going to know? You saw the najasa fall. You know better about that. So when a person will maintain tahara, when a person will clean, he will do this truly out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he will do this, seeking Allah's pleasure, he will earn Allah's love. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ So you see, tawbah and tahara are mentioned together. Tawbah is to clean the heart. Sin happened, there is guilt. Okay, get over it. Go back to Allah. Do tawbah, do istighfar. Leave the sin. And tahara is cleaning the outward. Cleaning the body, the home, the children, the workplace. Inside your house and outside the house also. Inside the building and outside the building also. Sometimes it's sad that when you look outside the building, you know, sometimes when people have left clothes or some donation at the bin, there's literally things falling out, hanging out. Or somebody doesn't need their stroller and they've left it outside the building. Whose stroller is it? What should the administration do? They leave it for a few days, but do you realize how dirty it's looking? How messy it's looking? Whose is it? Who's going to claim it? If they throw it, that's a problem. If they keep it, that's a problem. If they leave it, it's a problem. What to do? How messy it looks. It's the house of Allah. It's the house of Allah. Allah loves those people who keep clean. And if we cannot keep the house of Allah clean, where we're coming to worship Him, then what kind of love do we claim? He loves those people who keep clean. Cleanliness brings Allah's love. وَقَوْلِهِ and his statement, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Meaning follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what will happen? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Allah will love you. This is ayatul mihna, the test. That because everybody claims to love Allah. You ask anybody, do you love God? Of course I do. Do you love Allah? Of course I do. From children to adults, men, women, everybody will say that. The most devout person and the most distant person from the religion, everybody will claim that they love Allah. But what matters is if He loves us back. This is what matters. And who is it that Allah loves? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ When? This is a result of فَاتَّبِعُونِي Following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Following the Sunnah. You have to eat anyway. Eat the way he ate. You have to sleep anyway. Sleep the way he slept. Right? You have to, you know, do your work anyway. Do it the way he did. Start with the right. Do it with the right hand. And for this ittiba', what will happen? Allah will love you. When is it that a person can follow the sunnah? When he loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you see, loving Allah's servants also brings Allah's love. When a person loves Allah's servants, those who are close to Allah, then this will also bring Allah's love. And this is very logical. If you think about it, if you love your child, anyone who loves your child, you will appreciate them. Isn't it? If you love your parents, and anyone who is respectful of your parents, you will appreciate them. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the one who will follow the Messenger, Allah will love that person. The next ayah, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ Remember this ayah? That, O you who believe, anyone who turns away from the religion, then what will happen? Allah will bring about another people whom He will love and they will love Him. Allah will love them and they will love Allah. And what are their qualities? In the Quran, what do we learn? أَذِلَّةٌ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ Humble towards the believers and firm with the disbelievers. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who strive in the way of Allah. لَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Who do not fear the criticism of the critics. So such people who are firm in Allah's way, Allah loves them. وَقَوْلِهِ, and his statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفَّى كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. Indeed, Allah loves those people who fight in His way, صَفَّى, in rows. كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ, as if they were a building, a structure, that is مرصوص, that is firmly joined together. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that group which is organized and united. Because rows, what do they show? Organization. And at the same time, unity also. Bunyanu marsus. Because sometimes you can have rows, but there's big gaps in the middle. Why? Why should I move? Why should I stand next to them? I don't like to be too close to people. I like my space. Is that unity? No. So bunyanu marsus, what does it show? A group that is working together with unity and in an organized fashion, together as a team. Together as a team. Now when people work together, are there differences? Yes. But what did we learn earlier? That you give the other his haqq, you do ihsan towards them, you are just with them. Why? Why? Because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So over here, what's the reason behind unity? What's the cause of unity? Being in the way of Allah. You see, doing anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? That a person is fi sabilillah. That a person is in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever that action is, it requires effort, it requires courage, it requires sacrifice, it requires determination, and it also requires unity. And this is jihad. Okay? Now one jihad is jihad akbar, which is in the battlefield. For that, unity, organization, discipline, sacrifice, everything is required. But then there is jihad asghar also. And what is that? Like for example, praying together, salah, saf, is it necessary over there? Yes. Likewise, working together for the cause of Islam, does that require unity? Of course. Any good action, you need cooperation of others. And cooperation cannot come unless everybody has the same focus. Everybody has the same focus. Because when you have the same focus, the same goal, then you will overcome the differences. You know, it's like when there's a wall and there's bricks. Each brick is a source of support for the other, right? One brick cannot make a wall. And it cannot stay in its place unless there is a brick on its right and on its left, beneath and above. Correct? And this is a team. One person cannot survive on his own. He needs the support and cooperation of others. He needs it. Every person needs it. This is why jama'ah, unity, togetherness. Because when you work together, then you have the support of each other. And notice, bunyanu marsus. You know when you have like two bricks that are together, what is cementing both of them? Some material. Right? So, when they are together, there's no gaps, it is a firm structure. And when it will be firm, this means that nothing can between the two bricks. Nothing can between the two bricks, separating the bricks. And this is the connection between those who work for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their hearts are united. Yes, they will have differences. They will disagree. But they won't cut off from each other. I don't know you and you don't know me and forget you and forget me. No. There's no third thing coming in the middle. They are together, just like two bricks. They're together. Two tiles. They're together. They're together. And anything that comes in the middle, it has to be thrown away. Because if you give space to grudges and enmity and they don't agree with me and I can't take their shura and these differences when they come in, then what will happen? Gap, rift. And when this rift will come, the structure will become loose. When it will become weak, it will collapse. Holding hands, is it easy? At the beginning it's easy, but then over time, it becomes difficult. I remember once we went for Hajj and we saw a group of people, the women were all inside and the men had made a big circle around them to protect their women basically, so that they could all go for Rami together and their women wouldn't be getting mixed up with the men. You understand? Because in a big crowd, you could literally come between 3, 4, 5 men. How do you get away? So this is how they had protected their women. Now they were holding hands, one flag at the front and one flag at the back, so that in case anybody gets lost, they know where to come, where to find the group. But I was noticing how as they were going towards the Jamaat, at the beginning it was so nice and comfortable. But over time what happened? The hands, they really had to hold on tight. They really had to hold on tight. Because if the grip was not tight, they would let go of each other. And if they let go of each other, the structure is gone. The unity is gone. The group is going to disperse. So yes, there are times when we get those pushes and those shoves and those difficulties, those trials, those tests. But keep holding on. Don't let go. So those who work for Allah's cause, they are united. Their friendship, their love does not end. And when this love, when this friendship is strong, this cooperation will be there. And they will overcome their personal issues. And such people, whose love do they earn then? Allah's love. What is our concern? I should not be in the bad books of any individual. Right? If I'm working in a team, nobody should think bad about me. They thought bad about me? They don't agree with me? They don't give importance to my suggestion? I don't like them anymore. I'm not going to work with them anymore. Our concern should not be people and their approval. Rather, whose approval? Allah's approval. وَقَوْلِهِ and his statement, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ and he is the forgiving, the loving. Forgiving, loving. Notice how both of these names are coming together. And this is a big lesson for us. Because when differences happen, we begin to hate each other and dislike each other and distance away. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ Ghafoor is who hides away the sins. Remember the hadith? That I concealed your sins in the world and today I forgive them. So this is Allah's maghfirah. That in the dunya He hides away the sins, He conceals them. And on the Day of Judgment, He will completely forgive His servant. We sin so much. Does He expose our sins? Does He? No. And if something is exposed, slightly, not even the whole picture, just a little bit is exposed, in that is so much humiliation and disgrace, right? But even that is for a reason, so that we can learn. Like remember once a thief, he got caught. And he said, this is the first time I've ever stolen, please forgive me, please let me go. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, no. Not possible that this is the first time you stole and you got caught. No. Because when a person commits something wrong the first time, Allah does not expose it. He gives him a chance. 1, 2, 3, 4, more and more chances. But when a person persists, then his sin is exposed. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورِ He is very, very forgiving. And He is الْوَدُودِ He is loving. When we do something wrong, do people love us? No. They dislike us. And what do they talk about? What do they talk about? Exactly. They highlight our faults. They spread them. So many times on the internet you learn warning against so-and-so, refutation of so-and-so. And these are people of knowledge. People who have served their communities for so long. Just because they've made one mistake, which is a mistake in your eyes, what happens? Articles and articles are written about them. Videos are made about them. And they're spread like wildfire. There's no proper adab that is observed. And you wonder, such a person with so much knowledge, who has contributed so much to the community, if they're attacked in this way, who are we? If our mistakes ever got exposed, would people leave us? Would they spare us? They would rip us apart. Literally, they would rip us apart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives and He loves. He covers the sins and yet He loves His servants. Now, all of these ayat, what do they tell us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That Allah loves who? Certain servants. Why? Because of their actions. Whether those actions are of the heart, of the tongue, or of the limbs, or through their wealth, through their cooperation, whatever they are, He loves certain servants who have certain qualities. So if we want Allah's love, if we want to earn His love, then what do we need to do? What do we need to do? Develop these qualities. Now tell me something. Knowing that Allah loves these individuals with these qualities and not knowing this fact, is it the same? Is it the same? No. Believing that Allah loves, is it the same as believing that Allah does not love? No way. There's a huge difference. So this is the reason why it is being proven over here that Allah loves His servants. What's the impact of this belief? Believing in the attribute of mahabbah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the impact of this belief? Increases our action. So for example, in the first ayah we learned that He loves those who do ihsan. So this is a motivation to do ihsan. Because what happens every day? We get hurt, we get annoyed, we get disappointed, we get frustrated, and we just want to quit. No? Like, I quit. I've had it. I've had enough. But when you learn, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, it's a motivation to do ihsan. To keep going, to keep struggling, to keep striving.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. I was thinking, we cannot really be abd without knowing truly that Allah loves. Because love is part of being an abd. You know, the first day in our class you described that ibadah has these three pillars. Yes. So mahabbah is part of that. Of and we cannot do mahabbah until and unless we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves.
Yes. Because that love is fulfilling, right? When you know, when you have this hope that you will be loved in return. Otherwise, if you're always in the giving end, then there's no motivation over there. So ubudiyah, servitude, comes with this belief that Allah is loving. If I do this, ibadah, Allah will love me. So there is motivation to do ihsan. Another impact is that it makes you confident before people. Knowing that when I will adhere to these matters, when I will fulfill my duty as a servant, I will earn Allah's love. This will give you confidence. This will make you fearless before people. Because why is it that we don't do certain things out of fear of people? What will she say? What will they say? How can I do this? Nobody does this. But when you're doing something good, even though it may be very strange in a certain place, before certain people, you're doing it because you want to earn Allah's love. This will give you all the confidence you need. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ, He loves those people who have taqwa. Likewise, this belief, it makes difficult things easy. Leaving a sin which has become a habit, which you find fun and enjoyable. Leaving that, is it easy? Think about it. If you develop the habit of, you know, doing something, and you, of course, why is it a habit? Because you like it. But leaving that, completely abandoning it, it's not easy. But when you find out that when you will do tawbah from this, you will earn Allah's love, then leaving it becomes easy. Whoever leaves anything for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with something better. Remember the companions who had so much alcohol, who were addicted to alcohol. What happened? They left it so easily. Yes, some struggled, but majority of them, what did they do? They spat it out. They threw it. They wasted it. Because when a person wants Allah's love, when he realizes that he can get Allah's love, then difficult things become easy. Tahara, it's difficult. When you have to clean that carpet, oh my, it's not easy.
absorb everything, touch it with your hands, and then pour water, and then absorb it, and then pour water, and then absorb it. It's a long process. And then smell it, and then touch it, to make sure it's clean enough to pray on. It becomes easy. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he writes, when you wash your filth from your garment, you should sense that Allah loves you, because He loves those who purify themselves. If you perform wudu, you should sense that Allah loves you, because you have purified yourself. If you perform ghusl, you should sense that Allah loves you, because Allah loves those who purify themselves. Tahara becomes easy then. Likewise, doing ihsan, it's difficult, but it becomes easy. Another impact of this belief is that when a person believes that Allah loves, then this belief will protect him from innovation, from extremism, from neglecting. Because in order to earn Allah's love, what do you have to follow? The sunnah. When you will follow the sunnah to earn Allah's love, you will find the sunnah to be complete. You will find the sunnah to be the best. You don't need to add anything. And you would not want to leave anything. This belief makes a person firm upon the sunnah, which is the way to success. That it gives you a sense of protection, a sense of security, that even though you feel alone, and you feel like nobody is with you, nobody understands you, nobody understands your struggles. People might be supporting you on the outward, but you sense that they're not really with you on something. But to have this realization that if I do this good, Allah will love me, this will give you confidence and security and so much reassurance. Generally, cleaning is something that is not liked, is it? Like, for example, if a place has to be prepared, and somebody's given the task, you know, you prepare the food. Another person has been given the task, you go do all the shopping. And you're given the task, you do all the cleaning. What will you say? Why me? Am I the only one left? Hire a cleaner. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, أَن طَهِّرَ بَيْتِي. Clean my house. It's the most difficult to secure volunteers for cleaning purposes. Right? But you know that when somebody is doing that job and they're really into that job, and you go into the washroom on a busy day and it's clean, you know, on certain events, you see that, mashallah, the washrooms, the paper is there, the floors are dry. What happens? You, from your heart, you're grateful to those people. The lady who used to clean the masjid.
I was thinking that it's like you're in. Like sometimes you are in a situation where two, three people are talking and you're kind of new and you're excluded. So how bad do you feel? You feel left out. But once you discover that Allah will love you no matter what, if you're doing the way He's asked you to do stuff, like being tahar and being a tawab and, you know, Maqsad. Do tawbah. So you have this confidence. I'm in. You know, I'm His team. Yeah. So what more do you want for than that?
Very true. And, you know, children, what's one of the first things that they need? Love. This reassurance that, you know, someone loves me, my parents love me, and this is what gives the child confidence and a sense of security. He feels safe. He has a safe environment where he can discover, he can do, he can say, he can play, he can relax. This is a need. This is a need. Because where you feel, you sense that you're not loved, you feel very insecure. But if a person has this sense, this feeling that Allah loves me, when I will do this action and this action and this action, you see how emotionally satisfied he will be? Why is it that we are emotionally, you know, hungry, weak, we're, you know, arguing with others and getting upset and offended and being so touchy? Why? Because our need of love, you know, that's not being fulfilled. Because we are expecting love from people. Expect love from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This love is believing in this, that Allah loves His servants. It keeps a person firm upon Islam. Keeps him firm upon Islam. And this love also brings unity. Having this belief that Allah loves, I can earn His love. If I do this, I will get His love. This is what brings unity. It helps maintain good relationships. It helps you get over issues quickly. It helps you work for a greater cause together. It helps you overlook the faults in others. So there's a huge difference. Believing in this sifa of Allah and not believing in this sifa brings a huge difference in the state of the heart, the actions of a person, his relationships, everything gets affected by this. Now remember that love is something natural. We will love people, we will love things, we will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Khadija radhiyallahu anha that قَدْ رُزِقْتُ حُبَّهَا, I was provided with her love. So love is also rizq. It's provision. It's a gift that Allah gives to His servants. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Right? This hub is there. It's natural. And it's not something that a person has full control over. Or is it? You don't have control over this. You know, like if a person loves a particular thing, like a phone. He has a phone already. I love this phone. I can't afford it. If I have to get it, I have to drive an hour away. What will happen? They'll go. They're trying to control that love, resist that urge, but it's just not going away. It pulls you, doesn't it? So it's not something that you have full control over. Sometimes you can control it, and sometimes it's out of control. The Prophet ﷺ said, you know, when he was dividing his time between his wives, that, Ya Allah, this is my division. You know, this is the best that I can do. Do not ask me about what I have no control over. Meaning the state of his heart. You cannot have the same feelings for each individual. But at the same time, we know that a believer, he loves Allah the most. More than their spouse, and more than their children, and more than their work, and more than themselves, more than their money and their career. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Prophet ﷺ, he loved his family, and he would be with them. But when the time for prayer came, he became a stranger. Right? So, how is it that we can develop love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, here we learn that Allah loves His servants. If you do this, Allah will love you. But I want to increase in my love for Allah. Because that love is most fulfilling, right? When you love the other and the other loves you. Otherwise, it becomes pain and torture. Like, remember Barira? When she got her freedom, she was a slave, right? When she got her freedom, she decided to leave her husband. And he would walk after her crying, begging her, please don't leave me. I love you, don't leave me. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ requested her, stay with him, come on. You know, look at the poor guy. She said, is this your command? Or is it a request? He said, it's just a request, it's a suggestion. So then what did she do? She didn't accept that suggestion. And this was so much torture for that man. That you love someone, but they don't love you. They don't love you. So, when we do these actions, Allah will love us. But we want to increase our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. How do we increase that love? First of all, okay, good, make dua. And when is it that you love someone? Think about someone whom you love. No, think about someone you love. Why do you love them? Okay, you know about them. Like, for example, those of you who are married, your husband, when you didn't know him, I don't know, who is he? His name is this. What does he do? I've been told he does this. Have you met him? Yeah, I met him once. But then what happens after marriage? Love, right? With knowledge. Okay, how else does love increase? Okay, spending time with them. And how do you develop love for someone? This is my question. Why do you love somebody? What makes you love them?
What they have done for you.
If they've done what you like, okay, and okay, they have good qualities, okay, you have the same goal, you get along, when they know they love you, but sometimes you know somebody loves you, but you can't get yourself to like them. The thing is that when you realize someone is good to you, they're sincere to you, they want the best for you, and you experience that as you spend time with them. Each day you realize they really want the best for you. You know, if they pushed you in a certain direction, it's not because they hate you, it's because they want the best for you. Then what happens? You grow in your appreciation and you begin to love them. When they're generous to you, when they've shown favor to you, and the more you realize their favors, the more you begin to love them. Shukr. realization of favor, gratitude, and the next step is love. This is why, tahaddu tahabbu, right? Give gifts and increase love. Because when someone is generous to you, it's only natural that you begin to love them. And this is why many times people, they try to, you know, earn the love of other people by giving them one gift after the other. Hopefully this will convince them and hopefully this will make them love me. Huh? So think about it. What has Allah given to you? وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Everything. Anybody you love, any person in your life, who gave that to you? Allah. See, what is Allah's ihsan on you? Remember His ihsan on you. And you will increase in your love for Him. Secondly, another thing that can help us develop more love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase in that love, is doing that which Allah loves. Meaning if you force yourself to obey Him, Allah will bless you. He will gift you with that sweetness and that pleasure. And when you will have that sweetness, you know, that pleasure in doing good, this will definitely produce love for Allah. Allah will provide you with that love. And remembering Allah, increasing in remembrance. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَحَبُّ الْكَلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَرْبَعُ أَحَبُّ الْكَلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَرْبَعُ. Four words are most beloved to Allah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So when a person will say these words, why? Because Allah loves them. Now imagine, if Allah loves you, saying those words, wouldn't He gift you with more love? Wouldn't He make you happy in your heart? Won't He bring you satisfaction? And when that will happen, naturally, you will grow in your love for Allah. This is why the Prophet ﷺ found joy and happiness in worshipping Allah, in remembering Allah. أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. The Prophet ﷺ said, were I to say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, this is more beloved to me than anything on which the sun rises. When the sun rises, its light reaches what? Everything. The Prophet ﷺ said, saying these words is more beloved to me than anything on this earth, basically. Because when you remember Allah, Allah loves that. And when Allah loves that, He will reward you for that dhikr. How? With satisfaction and happiness. And when you will experience happiness and joy in the worship of Allah, then this will grow you in your love for Allah. What do we wait for? When I love Him, then I will do dhikr. When I love Him, then I will do more ibadah. No, start ibadah and love will come. Start dhikr and love will come. Once a man, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I praised my Lord. Meaning I praised Allah in my poetry. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَمَا إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يُحِبُّ الْحَمْدِ. Your Lord loves praise. If you praise your Lord, He loves that. So when He loves you to praise Him, He's happy with that. He will reward you. And when He will reward you, then you will naturally increase in love for Allah. مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْحَمْدِ. There is nothing more beloved to Allah than praise. The more you praise Him, the more you will love Him. The next section is إِثْبَاتُ, affirmation of إِتِّصَافِهِ, describing Him with, meaning His sifa of بِالرَّحْمَةِ, with mercy, وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ, and forgiveness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, affirming the attributes of mercy and forgiveness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does Allah possess these attributes? Yes, He does. Where do we learn that He possesses these attributes? Right at the beginning of the Qur'an. وَقَوْلِهِ, and His statement, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ. Surah Al-Fatiha begins with that. The Qur'an begins with Bismillah. And in Bismillah, what is mentioned? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Two names are mentioned, which tell us about Allah's mercy. So the first introduction that you have, that you get about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the book of Allah is what? That He is merciful. How merciful? Ar-Rahman. More merciful than you can imagine. الرحيم. His mercy affects you in every way. Because remember that Rahman is sifa. And Rahim shows the fi'l, action. It's because of His mercy that you live. It's because of His mercy that you have so many blessings. You are saved from disasters. Problems are solved for you. You earn forgiveness. It's all because of His mercy. رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. O our Lord, You have encompassed everything in mercy and knowledge. Meaning everything is benefiting from Allah's mercy. It is affecting everything. Man, jinn, angel, everything is receiving Allah's mercy. And وَعِلْمًا, You have encompassed everything in knowledge, meaning everything is known to Allah as well. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And He is ever towards the believers merciful. We learned Rahman earlier. And here we learn Rahim. Rahman, Rahim came together. And over here, Rahim is coming separately. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He is merciful towards the believers. What does it mean then? That there is some special mercy which is only for who? The believers. Rahman, the name of Allah, Rahman, what does that imply? Rahma amma, general mercy. And Rahim implies Rahma khassa, special, special mercy. For every creature, there is Rahma amma. Okay? Mercy by which the body, you know, benefits. It's badaniya, it's duniwiya, it's with respect to the matters of this world. It's limited to this world. But the believer is given more special, greater mercy. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. What does that show? That the believer is receiving, in addition to the general mercy, more mercy, special mercy, greater mercy. And what is that mercy? Of iman, of deen, of akhirah. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And My mercy encompasses everything. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Your Lord has decreed upon Himself mercy. كَتَبَ, what does it mean? وَجَبَ, that He has made wajib. He has made it mandatory on Himself that He is going to be merciful. Meaning He surely is merciful, no doubt about that. And if He was not merciful, then not a single creature would be living on planet Earth right now. If there is anything living, anything surviving, it's because of Allah's mercy. Because He gave life. He created. If He wanted, He would not have created. And He created, He gave life, إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Right? Not that as soon as a person sins, خلاص, finished. In Surah Maryam, what do we learn? That the statement of shirk is so severe, that تَكَادُ السَّمَوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ, that the skies would rent asunder and the mountains and the earth, where there would be so much devastation. So much devastation. However, because of Allah's mercy, what happens? Allah lets people live. Remember we learned about irada kawniya? So much so that Allah lets people do what they want. Even though it is something that Allah detests, that Allah hates, He dislikes. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. He does not like kufr for His servants, or does He? He doesn't. But does He let them? Yeah. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And He is the forgiving, the merciful. And these names of Allah, غَفُور, رَحِيم, they appear repeatedly in the Qur'an together. غَفُور is forgiving, رَحِيم is merciful. So it means that the repenting sinner, what will he earn? رَحْمَةً, Allah's mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. But in addition to being just, He is also merciful. What does justice necessitate, demand? Punishment. Right? That if someone has done wrong, they should be punished. That's fair. That's justice. Right? But Allah does not deal with His servants in that way. He is just in the sense that if a person has wronged, he will face the consequences. But there is also the option of tawbah. Right? There is also the option of istighfar. So He is ghafoor. And then, on top of that, He is also rahim. Because when a person does something wrong, are there consequences? Yes, there are consequences. But because He is rahim, He protects a person from the consequences of the sins that the servant has committed himself. Ghafoor and Rahim. So much so that Allah, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. He changes their sins into good deeds. When He forgives a servant, He changes the sins of that servant into good. Just imagine. A person commits a sin for 50 days. And he sincerely asks Allah for forgiveness. Remember the man who committed 100 murders? And then what happened? With his tawbah, he earned Allah's maghfirah and rahmah. And rahmah. A life of sin, of kufr, of shirk. And a person does tawbah, he testifies that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. He does tawbah, and what happens? His sins are converted into good deeds. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah is the best protector, and He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Who said this? Yaqub alayhi salam. He said this to his sons, right? When they were saying, yeah, we will protect Binyamin. Let him go with us, because otherwise we're not going to get any food from Egypt. So what did he say? Allah is the best protector. What can you do? And He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Do people show mercy? Yes, they do. Don't say sometimes, they do. Mothers, they show mercy. وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Between the husband and wife, Allah has placed in their hearts love and mercy. So they show affection to each other. They are kind to each other. Yes, there are times when they're not kind. But there are times when they're kind also. And we hope that that's the case majority of the time. But think about it. Anyone who's been very kind to you. You know, sometimes you see a child misbehaving so much. And a teacher is dealing with that child so, in such a gentle way, so patiently. And you wonder, if I was in her position, I would have done something already. And then you are amazed at how kind this person could be. How much kindness, how much affection they have. You're amazed. And you have so much respect for them. So much respect for them. Now imagine the mercy that people have for each other. That animals show to their young. How much mercy they show. You know, sometimes when animals, they give birth, the mother, how exhausted she is. How hungry she is. And she's all by herself. And yet she will even give her life to protect her children. All the mercy that the creation show to each other, put it on one side. And Allah's mercy, put that against it. Whose mercy would be greater? Allah's mercy. Because He is Arhamur Rahimeen. Most merciful of those who show mercy. And in fact, if the creation, if the creatures do show mercy to each other, that is also because of whose mercy? Allah's mercy, His one part that He has distributed amongst His creatures, so that they show affection to each other. So does Allah possess the attribute of rahmah? Of course. Why do we have to prove this, that Allah possesses mercy, that Allah has rahmah, He shows rahmah? Because there are people who don't believe in that. Right? Who say that, yes, He is Ar-Rahman, He is Ar-Rahim, but doesn't mean anything. And what is that? Ta'til. To abandon the meaning, to abandon the attribute. The people of Ta'til, they say that the intellect does not accept that God is merciful. Because why is there so much evil? You understand? So they'll say, oh, because of all these reasons, logically it doesn't make sense that God should be merciful. So we don't believe. Likewise, there are some people who do tahrif. And they say that mercy is weakness. Because when you're showing mercy, you're being soft and kind and weak before the other. And this is weakness. And God is above any weakness. So, when you're talking about rahmah for Allah, that doesn't mean mercy as we understand mercy. It just means He shows favors. He gives gifts to His servants. He gives ni'mah. He does ihsan. They basically isolate the attribute of mercy from Him. They say, yes, He shows favors. Doesn't mean that He feels mercy. He shows mercy. You understand? They separate the sifa of rahmah from Him. Now, when there are so many ayat that show that Allah has mercy, He shows mercy, remember that we are no ones to judge what befits Him and what does not befit Him. If He has described Himself in a particular way, with a particular attribute, then we don't say, oh, this doesn't befit Him, or this befits Him. No, آمَنَّا وَصَدَّقْنَا. And secondly, remember that Allah is merciful and people also show mercy. And that is because of Allah's mercy. But again, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Don't liken His attribute with the attributes of the creation. And think about it. If, for the sake of argument, if you say that, okay, Rahma, Allah does not possess that, does it make sense? I mean, is that even acceptable? How can a person believe in a God that does not show mercy? If you ask any person, what do you want? I want mercy. Alright? This is what people want, God's mercy. Any religion, they're seeking God's mercy. That's what they want. If a person has anything in life, what does he say? It's Allah's mercy on me. God's mercy on me. Rain is mercy, money is mercy, children, I mean, so many things. They are expressions of Allah's mercy. So, how do we refute the claim of such people? That first of all, through taslim, through surrender, that if we say, okay, if your intellect doesn't accept it, it doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't understand that Allah has mercy, then just surrender to the texts. All of these ayat that show so clearly that Allah shows mercy. And secondly, we say that the fact is that it does make sense logically that God would be merciful, that Allah is merciful. How? How does it make sense logically that Allah is merciful? Well, the first objection, if He is merciful, how come there is so much evil? You know the answer to that? What is the answer? In evil there is good. And if there is evil, it doesn't mean that He likes it. He has allowed it for a reason. And you see, there's a person whose child is unwell and he takes the child. This is an extreme example. A very common example when you take your 7-day-old boy to the doctor for circumcision. You let the child scream and cry and bleed. Why? Because it's necessary. You let the doctor give the child one shot after the other. You know, a child is born and instantly he's given an injection. He's given his vaccination, first vaccination, right? He's given vitamin K or something, right? And then later on, every few months, every few years, the child is screaming. He's terrified. But why is it that you hand over the child to the doctor, to the nurse? Why? Because you're doing zulm. It's rahmah. You want to save the child. You want to protect the child. So the intellect definitely proves that God is merciful, and there is no doubt in that. What's the impact of this belief? When a person believes that Allah is merciful, He shows mercy, then what effect does it have on you? Okay, peace. Hope. You can never despair. No matter what happens, you can never despair. Because you can always hope in Allah's mercy. Relief, His help, His support, and so many other benefits. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. So you always have hope. Even though you may have committed the greatest sin, but if you're living, if you're breathing, you have hope. Because Allah is Rahman. He is Rahim. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.